5, starting in verse 1. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for this day, God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you use empty vessels. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that you use empty situations, empty efforts, Father God. And Lord, I pray right now, Father God, the Lord, you just speak to that person that needs it today, God. All of us need you, Father God, but I believe there's somebody here, God, that needs a word from you. They came here on empty. Though we joked about our gas tanks being on empty, God, there's somebody here that's sputtering and is in desperate need of you, of your filling presence, God. And Lord, I pray right now, Father God, that you'd, Lord, just move me out of the way, Father God. Forgive me of any sin that would hinder me being used, God. And Lord, I pray right now, Father God, that you'd anoint me to preach your word with clarity and conviction, God. And Lord, I pray and I thank you, God, that your word will not go out and return void, but it will accomplish that what you purpose. God, that person that's sputtering on empty, God, this morning, spiritually speaking, God, will leave full. And we give you the praise for that, God. And the church said, amen and amen. Jesus uses empty vessels would be the title of this message. The year was 1920. The scene was a medical mission examining board for the selecting missionaries. Standing before the board was a young man named Oswald Smith. One dream had dominated his life. He wanted to become a missionary. Over and over again, he had prayed, Lord, I want to go as a missionary for you. Open a door of service for me. Now, at last, his prayer would be answered. When the examination was over, the board turned to Oswald Smith and said, You're denied. He did not meet their qualifications. He failed the test. Oswald Smith had set his direction, but now life had given him a detour. If he could not go on as a missionary, he went and he built a church to send out missionaries. And that's what he did. Oswald Smith pastored the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, which sent out more missionaries than any other church at the time. Smith brought God into the situation, a seemingly empty situation. And God transformed that detour into a main thoroughfare of service. Now, I lost my clicker. Jesus uses seemingly empty experiences to advance His purpose. I could stop right there, and you could go home and chew on that for a while, but I want to explain just a little bit further. See, Jesus was continuing His itinerant preaching ministry on the shores of the Lake Gennesaret. He began to proclaim the gospel, and people were gathering around Him to hear the word. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 1 that they were pressing upon Him to hear the word. In the day of a day that didn't have megaphones or microphones or public address system, it would be common to find a place on the shore where you could your voice would be amplified because it set kind of like a bowl. And I can see in my mind's eye how the crowd was just pressing to hear Jesus' word. And as He backed up and finally His toes touched the water and He began, well, I could walk out onto it because I'm Jesus, but I think I'll just look around for a boat, an empty boat. And He got in this empty boat and He sat down and He began to teach the people the word of God. Now, I want you to remember, you say, what does that got to do with empty situations and empty things? Remember, God uses empty circumstances to advance His purpose. In this case, in verses 1 and 2, you see that there was empty nets to begin with. In verse 2, Luke records that the boats were empty because the fishermen were washing their nets. As the story develops, we realize that the reason why they're washing their nets is because they had been out on the sea or the lake all night and had caught nothing. Now, some of you may wonder, well, what's that got to do with it? An empty net. God used not half-hearted, but empty efforts to get those men to hear His word. If it had not been for those empty nets, guess what? They wouldn't have been there. They would have probably been at the market. That means that their boats wouldn't have been there. The people wouldn't have heard the message that Jesus was proclaiming as clear and with clarity. It used a night of toil and seemingly empty results. But God was positioning these men. See, the disciples would have not been in the position to hear Christ. If they had caught a bunch of fish, they would have been at the market selling their fish. Right? Some of you may be going through some times that it looks like you ain't getting nothing in return. All you've done is toil and toil and toil, and nothing seems to be working. But let me tell you, God can use empty nets or empty efforts to put you in the place that you need to be. Just like Oswald Smith, he had worked and worked and worked and thought that he was to be a missionary, and God, he come up empty-handed. But God was just positioning him where he needed him. I'm certain that Simon and the other fishermen were coming back discouraged. Now, I'm going to say this. I know we got some winners in here that like to fish. How many times have you ever come back, or any fisherman come back, and you're just excited that you come back empty-handed? Those are the trips that you don't talk about. Right? Well, just put it on top of this. Just imagine if that was not just a hobby or not just something you do for pleasure, but that's how you provided your wife with the house, the roof over her head, provided food on the table for your kids. You would come back. Men, have you ever been in a situation where you're out of work, and even though you work hard trying to find a job, you come back empty-handed, and you feel so broke, so disgusted? I can imagine that Peter was sitting there washing those nets, thinking, man, I wish these nets would have been full. I'm going to have to go back and talk to Mrs. Peter and tell her, I ain't got nothing. But God uses empty vessels to get you. Some of you may be going through a time right now that you don't understand. It just seems like it's pointless. But God is positioning you to where He wants you. See, the thing about it is, as he was discouraged, and you know what, he was a tough fisherman, I'm sure, because he cussed and everything else. Come on now. Peter was a rough, he always let his mouth get him in trouble. And he probably been mully grubbing and griping about not catching any fish, and he might have even, when there ain't nobody looking, just a tear of frustration puddle up in the corner of his eye. But let me tell you something, church. The Bible says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You might be experiencing an empty night. It seems like nobody's around you. It seems like nobody cares. It seems like God is far away. But let me tell you something. It is setting you up to meet Jesus. It's setting you up. God uses empty efforts, not half-hearted efforts, but sometimes when it don't work the way you think it should. God is setting you up. God is setting you to a place where He can use you. You know, Joseph may have wondered many times what God was up to. God, they threw me in a, I had a dream. They threw me in the pit. Then I went to the palace, went to the prison. And now, finally, I'm at Pharaoh. What are you doing, God? I'm sure Moses on the backside of that hot desert wondered, God, what are you doing? For 40 years, I have been back here and it's empty. Some of you are wondering the same thing. God, what are you doing? I'm going through a time that I just feel empty. Just feel like, but let me tell you, God sometimes allows you to go through that time to so that He can get you to a point that He wants you. See, Jesus used the empty nets to prepare the boats to be empty where the people could hear. Now listen, think about this. If the nets had been full, the boats wouldn't have been there. They would have been put away. The fisherman, Jesus couldn't have got in. The Bible says that he went and he got in a boat and pushed off a little bit from the shore. And Simon's boat, notice that, it was Simon's boat. Now, we know the story he's calling, but at the time, Simon didn't know who, he probably heard of Jesus. He didn't know that he was fixing to leave everything and follow this Christ. But he said, just push off a little bit. Notice this, that God used those times of empty effort to get him in the boat with Jesus. To get him alone in the boat. See, some of you have been going through some tough times, but Jesus is just saying, hey, it's just getting you to where you can come to me. It's just getting you positioning you where you can get in the boat alone with me. Amen? Notice in verse 3, it says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out just a little from the land. See, some of you are wanting to do great things with God, but you're still sitting there worried about your empty efforts. You're still sitting there washing your nets in frustration. And Jesus is saying, just get in the boat with me. Just get in the boat. Because it's in the boat you get to know Jesus. Amen? You can get to know about Jesus by sitting there washing your nets, and you can have a lot of answers, but guess what? You don't really know Him. Get in the boat with Him. At first, the fishermen were washing their nets in failure. However, this failure set them up to get closer to the one that had never known defeat. Went from empty nets to empty boats. After being in the boat for a while, Jesus commanded in verse 4 that Peter should launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Now, Simon would have been able to launch out if he wouldn't have been in the boat. If the boat had not been empty, if he had not went through that night or that season of emptiness, he would have not had an empty boat to get alone with Jesus in. Amen? See, some of you are fussing. Some of you are arguing and saying, God, why don't you love me? Let me tell you, God is just getting you where you can get to Him. Amen? Because as long as you got Oprah and Dr. Phil and everybody else, you'll run to them. You'll run to Mama and Papa and everybody else. But my friend Jesus is trying to tell you, I'm going to let everything fail so you can come to me and know what a Savior I am. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I'm pretty happy. Amen? I'm glad that Jesus can use empty vessels. I'm glad when I give out of gas, God can breathe on me and say, you know what, I've been waiting for you to run out. Well, you can get in a boat with me. You know, in verse 5 it states how he launched out. He would have never got in the boat with Jesus if he had not had the nets. He would have never launched out in the deep if he had not went and gotten just shoved off a little bit. And Jesus said, you know what, Peter, I'm fitting to show you something. You think you have an empty night and you got an empty boat and you worried about going back home and seeing Miss Peter and saying, hey, you know what, I'm a failure. I don't know, she might have nagged a lot. He's probably thinking, you know what, I might just go ahead and go on to my buddy's house before I go home. You mean you ain't brought home the fish instead of the bacon? They were Jews. They didn't eat bacon. Thank God I'm Christian. Amen. I can eat bacon. Hallelujah. But although he had told all night, he got him in the boat and he launched him out in the deep. Jesus told him, he said, I want you to let down your net. And Peter had worked all night. It would seem like an exercise in futility to let down the nets. It had been an empty night. He had just fished these same waters the night before and there was nothing. But he said, nevertheless, what else I got to lose? At your word, I'll do it. See, some of y'all are trying to do everything other than listen to God. That's the reason why you're going through the times you're going through. He's trying to get you alone in the boat where you'll just say, hey, you know what? I'll listen to you, whatever you say. Whatever you say, I'll do it. And it's at that time, even though you may not understand what God is trying to accomplish, if you just follow His commands, guess what? The nets wasn't empty no more. The boats wasn't empty no more. They were full. The haul of fish was so overwhelming, neither the nets or the boats were empty. Their fullness came when it was at the appropriate time. See, some of y'all want to have a life of blessing, but see, you don't know what a blessing is until you've run on rock bottom. Amen? You don't know how much a blessing a cold shower is when you don't have any water. Amen? I remember, now they had water, but I remember when I went down to Suriname, I went in there and he said, we don't have any hot water. And I'm thinking, hey, the hot water's broke and I ain't going, it's 170,000 degrees down here anyway, so a cold shower, I'll be all right. I walked in and there was one knob that was not even plumbed for hot water. But I did not realize how much a blessing a cold shower was until you down there in the sweltering jungle. And then when I got back, you know what? I don't care. You might can take a bath in cold water and feel clean. But when I come out of the shower, I look like a cooked lobster. All right? I mean, if I missed it with soap, I'm going to burn them germs. Okay? But I knew what kind of blessing it was. And see, it went from empty nets, from empty boats. And this is where, see, Jesus will use the empty nets, the empty efforts, the empty boats, or the empty situations for this last one. Peter's announcement that he was empty. Look, in verse 8, it says, and when Peter saw it, he looked at all this stuff. He fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. See, some of you are still trying to get into heaven on your own good. Guess what? You're going to bust hell wide open if that's what you're depending on. None of us are good enough. And Peter, God used these situations to get Peter to a point where he'll just listen to him and say, you know what? I can't do it. I can't. It's up to you. See, Jesus used the empty nets and boats for His glory. However, what He desires is people, empty men and women, that will say, you know what? I am lost. I am undone. But You can use me. Look in verse 8. In verse 8, after seeing the miracle, Simon Peter fell at Jesus' knees, crying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. This was the reason for all that had occurred up until now. Now,
you know, I was studying, and this is one of those things that the Holy Spirit just knocked me in the head and said, hey, notice this. The Bible says that every word, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. Every jot and tittle that's in this book is there for a reason. Notice what he says. It says, he noticed that he called him Simon Peter. Up until that point, he had just been Simon. If you remember correctly, Peter was the nickname that Jesus gave Simon, and it means a rock. Right? Notice how Luke didn't even mention it being Simon Peter up until this verse, and he called him Simon Peter. Could it be that going through this emptiness, that God was transforming him into a man that thought he had it all going together, to a man that was empty and broken? And then God said, you know what? With a man like that, I can build my church. Come on now. With a man like that, you want West Green Baptist Church to be a thriving community of believers? My friend, then let's get off our high horses and admit that we are broken, sinful people. Because our self-righteousness stinks in the nostrils of God. And some of you are experiencing these empty efforts and empty situations because God's trying to get his point to you. It's not you. It's him. You know, I am so glad that in my weakness, he is made strong. You know, I'm not the best communicator, and I'm definitely not the most educated. I'm not a lot of things, but you know what? I'm one thing. I'm a man that admits my emptiness, and I say I am broken. If you look at me, you'll find faults and everything else. But let me tell you something. I want to say this. If I will decrease, it ain't about me. It ain't about my name being on the sign. I could care less. Take it down. You can take this church away from me. But let me lift Jesus high. It's not about the crowd. I've preached, as a matter of fact, I've stood in empty sanctuaries, standing there, and there's nobody there but my family. And I said, you know what? I'm going to preach anyway. And I got up and I sat there and I could barely make it through my sermon. But look around, folks. God can use those empty situations and he can fill them. Because God uses empty vessels. You know, the Bible says in the last verse that they forsook all and followed him. Man, I have loved this. You know, I thought I had to give up everything. And well, in a sense, you may have to. But I marveled at the faith of these men. They were able to just walk away. They were fishermen and they just got with a man that caught them all the fish. They said, well, if he can catch all the fish like this, then surely we can follow him. Surely he'll take care of us. Now, see, the thing about it is, I'm going to close with this. In verse 11, it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, often we look at this verse and we think, man, what faith they have. They left everything behind. What faith. Have you ever read that passage and said, man, I wish I could be like them? If Jesus called me to walk away from all of it. I'm going to turn this thing around for just a second. Because this is what really struck me. This passage, yeah, there's an element about their faith. And yes, it takes faith to follow Christ. Because it's impossible to please God except by faith. Right? We can't be saved except by faith. Grace through faith. I understand that. But I noticed something in this passage, and I hope this encourages you. And if you don't get anything out of this, remember that Jesus uses empty vessels. He looked at a bunch of motley crew, not the band, a motley crew. A bunch of no-name, ignorant. The Bible even said they were ignorant and unlearned men. He looked at them. He saw an empty. They were failures at fishing. They can't even fish right. The boats is empty. And he even admitted that he was a sinful man. Matter of fact, he told him, he said, go away from me. I don't deserve to be in your presence. But Jesus saw these men. And I realized as I was studying, Jesus had faith in them. See, some of you are looking at yourself as failures. Society may have wrote you off. Society may have said, you know what? He's a mess up. He's a nobody. But you know what? Jesus looks down. And he looks down and he says, you know what? That one right there. You know why I can use that one? Or any of these that are empty vessels? Is because they ain't full of their self. Paul, we talked about Paul in Sunday school and about the joy that he experienced and how he was in prison and he was full of joy. You know why? We'll flip over to Galatians. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I'm dead. The old me's dead. I have put all my flesh down. And guess what? The life that I live now is through the faith in the Son of God who gave him. This faith, I do not frustrate the grace of God, but I just put all of it on Jesus. See, some of you need to realize, you say, well, you know what, I can't teach that class. I can't do this. I would like to step up and do something in church, but you know what, I just can't do it. Everything I've done is failed. Well, good. I hope you are a bunch of messed up folks. I hope people say, what are you going to do when people would, you know, them people that come and they, you know, them people that are not like us and, you know, those people that, you know, may have had some bad things happen in their past. Praise God, let them come, because those mess ups, they know they mess ups. Come on now, if they know they're a mess up, then God can use empty people. Because he has faith, not in them, or he has faith in them, but he knows that he can mold them. You may be experiencing a season of failure, but Christ can use you. Have you ever had one of those seasons in your life that everything you touch just, it wasn't the Midas touch, that's for sure. Get in the boat. Stop washing your nets and running your failures over and over. Stop washing those nets and just running it over and over in your mind that you're a failure. And how I ain't never going to be nothing. Have you ever said that to yourself? If you say that, then you're saying God's a liar. Because if you just get in the boat with him, and get alone and listen to his word, you'll realize, yeah, it ain't about me. Just like Peter said, I'm a sinful man. But notice what Jesus said. He said, from henceforth, you'll be a fisher of men. I want you to stand. It's a bit warm in here to me, y'all. I don't know about you. I'm going to tell you this, though, if you think it's hot here, we can adjust the thermostat here, but there you ain't even going to be able to get a drop of water. I want to share this with you. Somebody come in here this morning. I ain't no prophet. I ain't going to sit here and say, God showed me an individual. No, and God can do that, okay? God's still God. But there's somebody in here that came here and you know what? And said, I'm empty. This may have been a last-ditch effort. Said, you know what? I guess I'll just go. Try it out. I've told all night, and I ain't got nothing to show for. Well, let me tell you something. There's a man by the name of Jesus. There's a man by the name of Jesus. The Bible says where two or three gathered. I went to school in West Green, and I ain't no knock on my teachers because they here, okay? Some of them. But you know what? I ain't an expert in math, but look around. There's more than two or three. And the Bible says that he will be in the midst. You said, man, I just wish I could just get in the boat with Jesus. You can. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Today that you can take all those failures and frustrations and you can get in the boat and just listen to His Word. And His Word says that if you will repent, turn from your sins, and believe the gospel that He came and died for you and rose the third day, you shall be saved. I don't know about you, but that kind of puts a pep in my step. You know, I wake up every morning and I try to have a season of prayer. But then sometimes I get up and I'm pretty sure, guess what? There's going to be one coming Monday morning. I don't know what it is about being a preacher, but Monday mornings is depressing. That's the time that the Lord says, you know what? There wasn't nobody listening to you. You know, the old devil come up and whisper, there ain't nobody listening to you. They didn't nobody even come back that night. They didn't nobody listen to you. Why don't you just give up and go home? Amen, preacher. But let me tell you something. If you give it to Jesus and you say, it ain't me, but it's Him working through me, the results is up to Him, not me. Amen. Some of you are running on empty. These altars are open. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, don't worry about food. I know some of you is like, man, my belly's growling. And you know what? The Huddle House will be open. I'm sure. They don't close. Amen. But I want to tell you this. These altars are open. And if you're here today and you feel like you are a loser, come on now. Have you ever felt that way, Kirby? Have you ever felt that way, Ruth? You ever felt like a failure? You just sat there and washed them nets and say, man, I just ain't no good. I got to go home and face the family and they know that I ain't no good. Have you ever felt that way? Every single one of us has. But let me tell you something. Instead of sitting there and mully grubbing and complaining about your situation, just listen to the voice that's calling out and saying, hey, get in the boat with me. You may be a failure. That's what I want. Because you know what? When I do this work through you, there ain't no other credit can be given but to the glory of God, my friend. Let me tell you, God is looking for a bunch of men and women that will say, it is not about me. Use me. I'm a mess up. Don't look down on the crackhead out on the street. Don't look down at the prostitute. Don't look down because you know what? God may be using that situation to get them to a point to say, I just need you, Jesus. And you know what? People said, I love it when people ask me. I had a man tell me one time, he found out that I was a preacher, Joe, and he said, your daddy must have been a preacher. I said, no, my daddy was a prisoner. You must have been brought up in church. You must have lived a good life. No, my friend, I have lived a raggedy life. Come on now. Oh, I had done everything. I took God's name in vain. I would do whatever I could to get away from my troubles, drinking and drugging. But my friend, one day, December 16th, 2001, God got me at an old-fashioned altar at Providence Baptist Church. And you know what? I realized that I was empty. I know y'all standing. Y'all said, I thought he said he was going to close. We circling the airport. We circling the airport and we'll bring this puppy to a close eventually. But my friend, let me tell you something. God is looking. If you think that you're a mess up, that God can't use you, I want to tell you, you are sadly mistaken. God sees so much in you. He gave you. He made you in His image. Come on now. He made you in His image and He has poured, He shed His life's blood. He, as they sat there, the one that made them, as they cursed and spat upon Him and plucked His beard out, they began to say, He said, Father, forgive them. As His blood flowed down. And the Bible says this, that Christ endured the cross because of the joy that was set in front of Him. You know what that joy was? Seeing broken people reunited with God and being used the way they were created. See, those people that turned to everything else. It's sad, y'all, that we think our bodies are our own. But let me tell you, you may be broken. That's okay. Matter of fact, that's the way He wants you. Amen?
Amen.
God uses empty vessels. You may be thinking, well, man, I really want to be used of God. Have you ever noticed the ones that are the most messed up, broken people? God uses in a mighty way. Have you ever noticed that, sister? Have you ever noticed that? I'm talking about them ones that would have killed their own mama. Come on now. Those folks that we look and say, good gracious. You know, I was a sinner, but good gracious. I don't know. I'm scared he might rub off on me or something, you know. Well, maybe he will. If he's got Christ in you. Because our self-righteous stinks in the nostrils of God. And we need to realize, church, that He's looking for empty people. I'm on clothes because I could be here the rest of the day. That's all right. I'm sure Old Times has put out some new honey rolls and everything else, y'all. See, y'all thinking I'm messing y'all up, but y'all go right now and y'all going to get cold ones. You catch that second wave, they got the hot ones out. Okay? You know what? Stop being full of ourselves and realize that God has faith in us. You know, you say, you know, I don't read my Bible enough. I get a fumble around with my prayers and I feel awkward and stop beating yourself up. Say, yeah, you know what? Just agree with the devil. Say, you know what, devil? I am a mess up. I am a failure. No, I can't pray right. No, I don't read my Bible like I ought to. No, I don't listen. But you know what? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. You know, that song gets me through a lot. People say, well, hey, you know what? When the tough, when those Monday mornings come and you feel like giving up, what do you do? When people come to you with all their problems, and you know what? I have learned that if I got somebody complain about one thing in a church, 10,000 of them's going to hit me Monday morning. I know y'all don't complain, but meddling now. Jesus loves me. This I know. I'm probably going to get a complaint. You know what? It was 1 o'clock before we got out there. It's okay. I messed up. Praise God, but God used me. Amen. Brother Morgan, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer. I want to say this before you pray, brother. If you're here today and you feel like a failure, praise God. God can use that. God can use that. It's not about us. It's not about our ability. It's about our availability. Would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we come today, Lord.